What's going on, church? Bringing you a video message. We haven't done this in a while, and we want to be right here, location in Lima, Peru. So we just want to welcome you to Healing Place Church. It's a great day to be alive. We're just so, you know, thrilled and excited about what's happening right there in your moment with God. We believe our weekends are moments with God, and we're going to experience everything that God has to say to each of us. So we welcome you to Healing Place Church, to all of our campuses, all of those that are watching today. We just want you to know that you matter to God, and we want to be a healing place for a hurting world for your life. We've been in a series called Closer, Closer to God, Closer to Our Family, and Closer to Others, 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 Others. It's been a wonderful series of getting connected to other people, looking in our own heart, getting connected to God through prayer and through fasting. And then this month, we've been talking about being closer to our family, closer to our family. Been at a conference here called Corazon, which means heart, and we've had a great time here in Lima, Peru. It's just been an amazing time to see the life transformation during this conference, during this outreach, and then also to be able to be with the Beringers. Well, what a great job they're doing here reaching people. They celebrated 20 years of being a church. And just being able to see their church family and us being able to be a part of this 20-year anniversary, because we feel like we're family. And being able to see that take place and just honoring them and to see their commitment to people, to see their heart for the poor, and then to also see their integrity of ministry has just been so amazing. We're 16 years old as a church, so they're a couple years ahead of us. So it's been a great, refreshing time. And you know, one of the things that I noticed and one of the things that they've contributed 20 years of ministry and reaching people has been the power of prayer, praying for one another. Their family even said that they've been a family, that they believe prayer has carried them through their mission and their dream, and to see many, many lives and many, many hurting people reach for the glory of God. You know, 8 years ago, I was here in Lima, and it's been a special time really for me to be back here in Lima, Peru. I was here 8 years ago, and we were doing a crusade. It was one of the first times I'd ever been able to be a part of an open-air crusade like I was invited to be a part of. And during the day, we did medical outreach, and we fed, and we partnered with churches. And at night, we opened up this stadium, and people came in. And the last night of that crusade, there were, probably 4,000 or 5,000 people there. And many people came to Christ, and I was able to speak. And I think God really helped me that night. I was kind of nervous in that environment for those 3 nights. But that last night, there was something special on it. And what happened is after that service, I remember going behind stage and praying and asking God, Lord, if you'll let us do this, if you'll let us have a heart for the world, if there's anything we can do to serve the poor and the hurting of the world, maybe in our own community, in our own region, but Lord, I just want to do this the rest of my life. I remember praying that prayer that evening at the close of the service. Lord, help me to do this the rest of my life. And the prayer was that God would raise up people that would come alongside, people that would have a heart for the world, people that would give their time and their talent and their resources. That was 8 years ago. And I remember that night after praying that prayer, you know, I guess the next morning, got sick in my body and ended back up here in Lima, Peru, and we were up the coast a little bit, and you know, it just got worse. And I guess about noon that day, before we were to fly out the next day, I got a terrible headache. Some of you remember this, and just felt terrible, and then really don't remember much else, and ended up in the hospital here in Lima, Peru. It's the last time I was here, and they took a CAT scan. We had some doctors with us that were doing the medical outreach, and some of you were praying even at this time, and I was a little out of it. And as they took the first CAT scan, it showed that I'd had a brain aneurysm, at least on the CAT scan, is what the doctors were saying, and that there was a blood spot on the back of my head. And I remember the pain and the headache and the nausea and just being in and out and really not really knowing what was going on. And during that time, they began to inform people in Baton Rouge. And, you know, the church did what the church does. It begins to pray. And I remember really from six after that CAT scan, one of the doctors, Terry Elder, who's a doctor in Corpus Christi, who was here at the crusade, he walked up to me. And I remember one thing. He leaned over the bed and looked at me and said, son, we may not be able to get you home. You need to get things right with God, and this could be your final day. And I remember just that feeling coming over me of what's going on and what's happening. And from about 6 to midnight, I was unconscious. But what was happening later on, I found out, was there was prayer going on at the church. My family was being informed, and many of my friends got together and began to pray, and God began to move. And so at midnight, I woke back up. We did another CAT scan, and doctor came back in who was with us. And he said, Dino, for some reason, we don't see any of that. It looks like that there's no more bleed, that the aneurysm stopped, and that there's still something there, but we don't know what's going on. And I remember that night specifically. I remember that moment because there were a few friends by the bed. One of them was Dave Olerking, and he was praying, and his tears were running down his cheek. And he handed me the phone. He said, it's Dylan on the other line, of the other end. She wants to talk to you. He put the phone up to my ear, and Dylan began to pray for me. And she said, we're going to get you home. You're not staying there. We're going to fly you home in the morning. And she said a couple things to me. She said, you're going to live and not die, and you're going to see our new baby girl. Isabella was going to be born a month away from that. She said, you'll be home, you will see our daughter, and you're going to be fine. And we are claiming healing in your body. And I came home, and many of you remember that process of just the miracle that took place in my life. And, you know, we had to fight some meningitis for a couple months, but God totally restored me. That was a significant time. And there were so many people that prayed, and so many churches that prayed. And I discovered the power of prayer. We just changed our name to Healing Place Church. We were Trinity Christian Center. Just 6 weeks before that, we changed it to Healing Place Church. Can I tell you this, church? I believe it was a significant time for us. I believe God was establishing us as a place of the supernatural. God was establishing us, believing God for miracles for families, and miracles for those that are sick in their body, miracles for those that fight depression and defeat. And God gave me a miracle. I really believe that. I believe the enemy was trying to take me out or come against our church or come against the vision of reaching people, not being about just us four and no more. Reaching into Donaldsonville, reaching into the Dream Centers, and establishing those in our community, reaching across the world in Africa and in Cambodia and in India and right in our own state when they've went through hurricanes, and making a decision to be a church that was outward focused, not inward focused. God showed up, and I believe the enemy tried to come against us, but God came down through the power of prayer and brought a miracle into my life. And I've always thanked so many churches. I still run into people, even coming on this trip. Many people said, you know, I remember when you got sick, when I got here. It's the first thing that Pastor Behringer said, Dino, do you remember the last time you left here? You left on a medical airlift, but now you're back here. Look what God's done. And out of all the people who prayed, can I tell you who was the point person and who was at the tip of the spear? It was my wife. It was Dylan. I believe she was like the Green Berets of praying for my miracle. See, I couldn't hardly pray. I didn't know what to pray, but she knew how to pray. And that's what I want to do for a few minutes. I want to talk to each campus and each person that's here. I want to talk to you about the power of prayer for your family. We pray for the lost. We pray for the nations. We even pray for our friends, our enemies. Sometimes we pray for crazy things. We pray for little things. We pray, oh, God, help me to get to this appointment on time. Lord, my tooth is bothering. Oh, you know, help the cavity not to cost a lot of money. Sometimes we'll stand in a line and say, you know, I hope they don't run out of French fries. I mean, we pray some wild prayers. But can I tell you, one of the most powerful things you can do is be committed to praying for your family. Praying for your wife, praying for your husband, praying for your children, praying for your parents, praying for your siblings. The power of a praying family. In this series, we've been talking about getting closer, closer as a couple, closer to maybe our children or those that are away from God. But today I want to focus for a few minutes about the power of praying for your family. I am the result of the power of a praying wife. Not only through that moment that I experienced 8 years ago, but I can tell you this, a lot of the things that we've been blessed and a lot of the favor that happens to be in our home or in our life and a lot of the opportunities and a lot of the great privilege to serve and pastor, Healing Place Church and to serve the people of our community and those things that are on our life. I can tell you right now, it's not been my prayer. It's been the power of a praying wife. It's been the power of a praying family and even into her family. And I just want to teach on that for a few minutes about the power of a praying family. I believe it's the single most important thing you can do in your life is to pray for your family, your kids. And I don't know if there's a greater priority in a home. We want to provide a safe home. We want to provide a resourced home. We want to provide a home that's healthy. But I'll tell you one thing that needs to happen in that home and in that relationship is prayer, praying together. And there's a great scripture in Nehemiah, and I just want to read some scriptures out of Nehemiah because Nehemiah was given a great task. Oh, my goodness, to rebuild a wall. Enemies coming against him. He was having to, deal with the schedule and getting it done. A lot happening. Busy, 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 busy. Like many of you. Busy, 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 busy. But Nehemiah found a passion and he found really the key to what I believe built that wall was the people, and it was the people praying and make a decision to be committed to prayer. There was a lot of opposition, a lot of uncertainties, just like us. A lot of opposition. Some of you came to church today and you have opposition in your life. Some of you came to church right now and there's uncertainty in your family or in some relationships. Maybe there's an uncertainty in the marriage. Maybe there's an uncertainty about a child. You're wondering, is my child okay? Is there something going on? Nehemiah faced all these things. And in Nehemiah chapter 4, I want to read some verses to you. This is how he approached the uncertainties and the battles that were facing him. It says this in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it was reached halfway. It was half in its height. For the people worked with all their heart. So they were about halfway done in Nehemiah chapter 4. And it goes on to say in verse 7, he mentions how when it was halfway done, that the ungodly and many of the demonic leaders in the area, they became angry because of the progress. And when you make progress in your life or progress in your marriage, when you commit to pray, when you commit to read, when you commit to see those kids passionate for Jesus, you are going to stir up some stuff. And that's what was happening. Verse 8 says that they all plotted together to come and fight against the children of Israel, fight against Jerusalem, and to stir trouble up. You know, the enemy likes to stir up trouble. And sometimes people want to stir up trouble. But verse 9 says this, but we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet the threat. What was the action that Nehemiah took when there was this opposition against him? He began to pray. And he called the people to pray because it created a guard and a protection for what God was wanting to do. The purposes of God were going to be protected through prayer, not talk, not wishing, not crossing our fingers, rubbing two stones together. Prayer was what brought the protection. Let me go ahead and keep reading. It says, meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers, they're going out, and there's too much rubble. We just can't rebuild it. Also, our enemy said, the enemy always wants to say something to you, always brings doubt. The enemy said, we will go and kill them and put an end to their work. You know, Jesus said the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Remember this, God has a vision for your family. God has a vision for your marriage. We believe that with all of our heart, you find it in life for marriage. You find it in a small group. You find it, through reading the Word. God has a vision for your marriage and your children. But also remember, the enemy has a vision for your home, has a vision for your marriage. And it's normally to kill, steal, and to destroy. This was what was happening right here. It said, we're going to put an end to the work in verse 11. Verse 12 says, even the Jews came and said, they said it 10 times. They told us this 10 times. Wherever you turn, they will attack you. You know, sometimes the enemy will put a thought in your mind or a thought about your kids or a thought of doubt or depression or defeat. I talk to many people who are thinking defeat over their marriage or thinking defeat over their home. And Nehemiah had to deal with it. 10 times they came to Nehemiah and said, you're not going to make it. It's not going to work. Give up. Quit. Stop all this. How did he handle it? Verse 13, Nehemiah did this. It says he stationed some people by the low points. He put them in the exposed places. He posted them by families. By families. He put a sword and a spear and a bow in their hand, and they began to pray. I like that. Prayer in one hand, a sword in another hand. That's what Nehemiah did. He got their families together, and he put them by the wall. And he said, we've got to guard and we've got to protect the purpose and the mission of God. Verse 14 is key. It says, I looked things over. I stood and I said to all the people, don't be afraid. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And fight for your brother, your sons, your daughters, and your wives and your homes. Fight for them. There was uncertainties. There was impossibilities. There were things that were happening around him. And he said, we've got to pray. We've got to fight the fight of prayer for your sons, your daughters, your family. Fight for your wives. Fight for your husband. Fight for your marriage. That's what Nehemiah told him. And as they begin to fight through prayer, fight as committed to one another, look what happens. It says, God's going to show up. Verse 20, you will hear the sound of a trumpet and you will join us all there to fight, for our God will fight for us. Now, here's the point. When you begin to fight for your wife and fight for your husband through prayer, fight for your children in prayer, God will fight for you. Now, I've had some people stand with me before. I've gotten myself a little bit of trouble way back in the day. Not now. Way back in the day, there was nothing like having somebody stand with you. Nothing like getting yourself in a spot. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've gotten yourself in a spot before, and you're like, oh boy, how am I going to get out of this? And all of a sudden, a friend stands with you, or a buddy, or one of your pals stands there with you and says, wait, you know, I'm going to stand here with you. You're not going to fight this fight alone. I had a guy I hung out with that he loved to fight. And if I ever got myself in a situation, he enjoyed it. He always stood with me. There was never a time I ran my mouth or I did something crazy that he didn't come and stand with me. He was a faithful friend. God says that if you'll fight for your family, if you'll fight through prayer, and sometimes prayer is a battle. It's what we call it, spiritual warfare sometimes. You don't hear those words a lot, but it's a battle. When you do that, God says, I'm going to fight for you. Now, I want to say something to every man that's watching today at every campus. I think this is so important. God wants us to fight the right fight. There are some fights that are not worth fighting. And we do not need to be men that just want to fight, just want to create a fight. We want to make sure we're fighting for the right thing. And I just want to encourage every man, I want to encourage every husband, every father, to embrace the fight of prayer for your family in 2009. I know we've got a men's conference that's right around the corner. That's a good place to kind of get tuned up, a good place to kind of get fired up about the fight of faith for your family. I want to invite every man to be a part of that. See, God's calling us to pray for our family. I believe in 2009, we're going to have to stand guard over our children. Many of you may walk through some things, maybe even physically with your family or spiritually or relationally, or maybe even something could happen mentally or something in the emotions or in the battlefield of the mind. And I really believe in 2009 that God's going to call us, and God wants us as a church and as families to stand guard over our marriage through the power of prayer. You say, well, Dino, how important is prayer? I just want to unpack a few things. I want to wrap this up, and I want to leave you with four things that prayer will do. I was just studying this morning, and these are simple things. Many of you know I like simple. I don't like complex and confusion. Sometimes, you know, Dino, tell me exactly how to do that. Here's what prayer we'll do. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is responding to God. Prayer is talking, and a lot of times, mostly prayer is listening. Prayer is solitude. Prayer is waiting. Prayer is hearing. Say, what will prayer do? If I commit to pray in 2009 for my family, if I would be known as a praying husband. You know, there was books written, The Power of a Praying Wife, Power of a Praying Husband, The Power of a Praying Family. Oh, there's power there. What will it do? Here's the first thing it will do. Number one, prayer makes me wait. I want you to think about that. When you pray, you got to wait. It's hard to pray and go do something at the same time. When I commit to pray, it makes me wait. And you know what it does? Therefore, it forces me to leave it in God's hands. See, there are some things that we've got to put in God's hands. I've walked through some things already in our family that I've just had to turn over to God and say, Lord, I'm going to put Delin in your hands. I'm going to put my three children in your hands. When I was younger, there were some times I had to put my parents in God's hands. There's been times I've put my sisters in God's hands. Prayer makes me wait. A lot of times we just try to control everything. We're just, what do I say, control freaks. Prayer says, whoa, 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 whoa. God, I'm going to place it in your hand. I think that's important for our family. We've got to place our family in God's hands. Here's the second thing that prayer does. Prayer clears my vision. Prayer brings clarity. Now, one of the cool things about Peru is you look over Lima. There's a haze that comes over Lima many times. And doesn't rain a lot here. It's a very dry area in South America. But one of the things that happens when the sun gets up, a lot of times the sun will burn through that morning haze. It's kind of happening right now. The sun's beginning to burn through the haze. And I think that makes sense in life. A lot of times in life, things are blurry. A lot of times the schedule and the attacks and the worry and doubt and unbelief can bring a fog into our life. A lot of times I wonder, man, what's my wife thinking and why is she acting that way and why is my husband responding that way? And our relationships can get foggy. Sometimes when our kids don't talk to us, or a lot of times we're wondering what's happening. They seem distant. They don't seem like what's going. We feel like it's foggy. Prayer will burn through that, and it gives us clarity. Oh, I'm asking God to give clarity to every single person who's watching today at every campus. Give clarity. Prayer brings vision to our life, so it makes us wait. It gives us vision, and then the third thing is prayer quiets my heart. It quiets, it calms me down. I can get fired up. Let me tell you something. I can get a little Italian. What's up? Get a little scattered. You know, some people say I'm still ADD. You know, I can be a little distracted. And sometimes I get distracted. I get worried. Delin will tell me, Dino, don't try to control it. Don't try to fix everything. Don't get so fired up. Calm down. And one of the things that prayer will do, prayer will calm you down. Matter of fact, why don't you do this? Why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, you got to calm down. You got to calm down. Now look at that other person next to you and tell them, I'm very calm. I'm very calm. See, prayer helps us calm down. And we need to be able to do that. I heard somebody say one time that it's hard for your knees to knock in fear and in being nervous and panicking when you're kneeling. See, when you kneel, changes everything. So prayer makes me wait. You know, so when we're praying for our family, we've got to wait on God. Prayer gives me vision, gives me clarity, what's going on. Kind of got a feeling, got a little vibe. It'll burn away all that. It'll take all the fog away. And then prayer will calm us down and quiet our heart. And how we need our hearts to be quieted. So much noise, so much uncertainty. Quiet our heart to hear from God, because God knows your spouse and God knows your kids better than you do. He knows them. And then the last thing that I just want to teach on for a few more moments is prayer keeps me in the faith. Prayer keeps me in faith. Kind of keeps me in the trust zone. If I pray, then normally when I get up from praying, or if I'm praying in my car, or I'm at my desk, or I'm out walking, a lot of times when I exercise, because I do so much exercise, it's just plumb ridiculous. When I exercise, a lot of times I'll pray. I was on the treadmill yesterday, and just, you know, going at about 12 speed, just inclining like a mamma jamma. But I was praying. Now, to be honest with you, I was walking real slow, but I was praying, and I took time to pray for the meetings we were having here. I prayed for our new facility there, the arena. I prayed for all our campus pastors, and I prayed that God would help us with some other things we want to do this year around the world and making a difference for Jesus. And so when you pray like that, when you get out of prayer, it's a whole lot easier to walk in faith than if you've not been praying. A lot of times if you've not been praying, you get critical, you can get negative, you can get mean. But prayer keeps me in faith. It helps us to continue to trust God. You know, this past year, I had the opportunity of being a part of a coaching staff with a football team that my son plays there at Dunham. And so I got to be a part of the football coaching staff. I never coached football. I played a little football, but I never coached. I coached basketball, coached baseball. So I was excited about it. I said, hey, why don't you come be an assistant coach? I went the first couple of days and, you know, had a great coach there, really knew what was going on. So he realized I didn't know much. So he just said, hey, why don't we kind of, you know, let you be like the number one encouraging dad. And one of the things they didn't have somebody to tend to was the offensive line. Now, that kind of fit me. I play a little tight end, and I know many of you thought I was a sleek receiver or I was, you know, running back. But no, I was an O-line guy for a while. Played a little defensive line, played a little offensive line, played a little tight end. And so I coached the offensive line. And one of the things that every single day we would talk about is you got to protect the quarterback. You got to protect the quarterback. That was the main role. If I said it one time, I said it 1,000 times. You've got to be a wall. You're an offensive guard. This is the offensive line. Guard, line, protect. Guard, line, protect. Guard, line, protect. Could not let that quarterback get hit. Quarterback had to hand off. Quarterback had to pitch. Quarterback had to pass. Quarterback had to take the ball and move the ball down the field. And we were not going to move the ball down the field, and we're not going to score, and we're not going to get in the end zone, baby, and do the dance. None of that was going to happen if the offensive line didn't protect the quarterback and protect the ball. Let me just say this. There are many things that are coming against our family. There are many things that are trying to sack our family, our marriage, our children. I've seen in this world 350-pound demonic enemies coming through to try to take our kids out, try to sack our wives and tackle our husbands and come against our parents and our family. They're wanting us to have a loss. They're wanting to hurt. They're wanting to take us out of the game. You know it. You know what some of you are doing that's happening right now in your life. You just feel like there's something that every time you try to move forward, you feel like you're not getting any yardage. I just can't get this communication moving forward. I can't get our family moving forward. I just feel like we're never moving forward. I believe prayer is our guard. I believe when you pray, when you decide I'm gonna pray protection over my wife. I'm gonna pray protection over my children. I'm gonna pray Psalms 91. I'm going to believe that God's going to protect us. We're going to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm going to pray for my children. They're going to walk in healing. I'm going to pray for my wife that she's going to be able to fulfill her dreams. She's going to be able to walk in her destiny. She's going to be all that God wants her to be. That I would never stand in the way of that, but I would be able to move her forward and to guard and protect through prayer. See, I see that happening. And I just want to encourage you today to be an individual, to be a dad, to be a son, to be a daughter, to be a wife, that puts the guard up. Nehemiah said, we've got to guard and we got to pray. We got to guard and we got to pray. And these are those days. We got to guard and we got to pray. And it goes hand in hand. So I just want to encourage you. You say, well, Dino, when does that start? It starts right now. Starts daily. I want to encourage you today to pray daily for your spouse. Pray daily for your children. Why? Because prayer will help you wait on God. Prayer will help you have clear vision. You know, prayer will help you quiet your heart. And prayer will help you walk in faith. Oh, man. Great day here in Lima, Peru. What a great day right there in your life. I just thank God for you. And I believe that God's going to raise up praying wives, praying husbands, praying children. And I think God's going to do a great work in 2009 through the power of prayer. I just felt like in my heart that I wanted to spend a whole message of video teaching on the power of praying for one another. We pray for our jobs. We pray for our finances. We pray for the weather. We pray against storms. But are we praying daily for the ones that God has put in our life to do the journey with? Pray for them daily. That wife, that child, that parent, maybe somebody who's close in your family, pray for them. So I just want to take a moment. I want to pray for you, and then one of our pastors are going to come, and he's going to close out our service. Because many of you are here and you say, Dino, I'm just not right with God. I don't even know how to talk to Him. I don't know what to do to get in that place. And we want to do everything we can to lead you to the foot of the cross, where you'll experience what Jesus did for you and what Jesus has purchased for your life, so that He can get you on the right track, so that then you can make a difference to those that you love. But let me pray for you, and I just want us to pray. As I pray, let's all commit to being a praying husband, being a praying wife. I believe at the end of our life, sometimes it won't be how much we spent or how much we accomplished or how much we did. I believe it'll be a whole lot more of, did we pray? Did we care at that level? Did we sacrifice at that level? I'm here today because the power of a praying wife, I believe with all my heart. Let me pray for you. Father, I just pray right now in Jesus' name for every single person who's been able to hear this teaching at every campus. I believe, God, you have something for each life. I believe today, God, help us to experience and understand the power of prayer. The power of prayer in our home. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks a lot.